Please join me in the confession of sin. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him, let us kneel and bow down before Him, let us confess our sins with penitent hearts, and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Lift up your hearts with comfort and joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise for the versicles. This evening's lesson is recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. This is a portion of what is called our Lord's sacerdotal prayer, His high priestly prayer before God, the night of His arrest. And our Lord prays, "I have given them your word, And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for making us your own dear children in the waters of baptism, calling us into your kingdom of grace, and connecting us to the glorious work of your Son. You have chosen to leave us in this world to do the work you have called us to do. We pray tonight that you would bless us and protect us from all of the evil and unbelief that rages all around us, and that you would someday take us to our eternal home. We ask it all in the name of Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in seminary, we had a class called Pastoral Theology, and the professor would talk to us about various counseling situations we may have to get into and deal with when in the parish ministry. And I particularly remember President Peterson saying to us, "When you go out on hospital calls, be careful not to have it completely formed in your mind what your devotion and prayer is going to be about, because sometimes you will find in your discussion with the patient that they have something completely different on their mind." That's happened to me a few times. When I've gone in kind of thinking in my mind what I would probably have the devotion focused on and pray about, and suddenly the person will say to me, Pastor, can you pray that God would just take me to heaven? Can you pray that I would just die? It's kind of a strange request. Kind of catches you off guard a little bit when someone asks to have you pray that they would die. And yet at the same time, it's a beautiful prayer, a beautiful request by a believer. St. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." There may be a time in your life or at the end of your life when you get to the point where you just wish God would take you out of here. Maybe you've already had a time in your life when things were so bad, and maybe you felt like so low and so down and so beat up by the world or something that was happening in your life that you just started to groan inwardly, "Just take me out of here. Take me to heaven. Why doesn't God just take me home?" The very kingdom of Christ into which you have been called, that presence of yours in God's kingdom and belonging to Christ has taken place because of and through the Word of God. The very Word of God that God the Father has given to the Son, and that God the Son, through the Holy Spirit, has now caused to enter your heart. Jesus talks about that in our text. He says, "I have given them your word," as he prays to his Father. "I have given them your word." It's that word of God that has made us God's children. It's that word of God that separates us from the unbelieving world, that, if you will, sanctifies us, that sets us apart from the unbelieving world by giving us the knowledge of our sins, but more importantly, the knowledge of what our Savior's done for us, clothing us in his holy righteousness and perfection so that we could someday go to heaven. And the truth that is contained in that word that has now sanctified you as a child of God, that same truth is what the world desperately needs to hear. But it's also that same word and our relationship to Christ through that word, it's that same word that puts us now at odds with the world that really doesn't want to hear what the Word has to say. So because of that relationship that you and I now, by God's grace, have through faith in Christ, through the Word, because of that relationship, we now have a different perspective on life. We have a different perspective on the world. We have a different perspective on how we should look at the things that take place in our world. And that puts us at odds with the world. So there's going to be, we should expect, an air of hostility between us and the unbelieving world. You've heard the expression before, and it so beautifully comes out of this type of a text, that Christians are to be in, but not of, the world in which we live. We think of the Apollo astronauts who went to the moon, and while they were there, lived in some cases for hours while they worked on the moon and the surface of that moon, and yet they didn't belong there, but a portion of their life was there. So it is for us. We are not really of this world, our Lord says. We're from another place. Now, we should understand that there's a reason why God leaves us here in this world for a time being. There's a reason from God's perspective as to why we're still here and why he hasn't taken us home. You've probably heard the statement of Luther before, to paraphrase, that if the only reason God had for you becoming a Christian was to take you to heaven, you'd be there already. He would have zapped you from your baptismal font. But he's chosen to leave you here now. And there's a reason for that. It's not just willy-nilly. It's not just haphazard or a forgetfulness by God as to why you're still here and not in heaven. He's got a purpose for that and a reason for that, a divine purpose, a divine reason. And you have a vocation from God, and he has set out for you certain works that are already prescribed for you in your spiritual life to carry out and accomplish on his behalf. That's why Jesus says in his prayer to the Father, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." No, it's essential for us that we stay here right now. We are not here in this world to win the approval of men, but we are here to do the will of God and to carry out that will by confessing his truth and by proclaiming his word. We're the only ones that can get this done. God has not chosen to use angels or has not come up with some new creature to do this. It's through sinful people like us, brought to faith, loving Christ, cleansed by His blood, going to heaven, left here with a purpose. That's how God now will get that work done. And so this is going to present challenges for us. It clearly does. That's why Jesus has to pray, "I pray that you would keep them from the evil one," to protect us. And this is accomplished again through that very word by which we are sanctified. Same word root that has the word sanctuary in it. We think of this beautiful edifice we're in as a sanctuary. It's set apart from the gymnasium and the dormitories and the cafeteria. This has a special purpose, set apart from all of the other buildings on campus. When someone seeks sanctuary, they look for a place where they are protected from any other reach. And so it is for us. We seek sanctuary in the Word of God. That's where we are sanctified through Christ and the blood of Christ. Now, it's wonderful to see in our text that Jesus Himself, here He is the night before He goes to the cross, that He's got you on His mind and heart, that He's thinking of you, He's thinking of your life on earth, and He's thinking of your life someday in heaven. And to know that He's praying for you. And listen to one more line from His prayer. He says about you, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Now, you've heard those words a lot, but think what that's really saying. You are not of the world, just like Christ is not of the world. You are as much of this forsaken, dying land on this earth as the Lord Jesus, the Son of God from heaven, is of this dying land. I think it's wonderful that the last little prayer that we have, according to how our Bibles lay out, in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, the last little prayer from the mouth of the church recorded in our scripture is this: "Come, Lord Jesus." Amen.
with your strength and blessing.